Welcome to Influencers West. Influencers is a ministry to men designed to help men become men of God no matter where they worship. Our website is influencerswest.org. This is an Influencers West special event. Very glad you're here, and welcome.
But guys, this is a special day. And it's special because we have my lifelong friend Rocky Fleming and Brian Craig, who's our new executive director for Influencers, here with us today. And I've asked Brian if he would share his heart. He stepped into this position as executive director January the 1st. And this next year, he'll be, and he already has been, they're out here, they've been visiting all of it. Now, if you're pretty new to Influencers, you probably wonder who we are and maybe don't care who we are. But I wanted to give you a little information, and this morning, hopefully, you'll have a little insight into who we are and what we do and why we do it, and what a little bit of our history is for Influencers as an organization. Influencers is a Christian nonprofit or mission organization. And just like Navigators and Campus Crusade and many ministries that are represented here this morning. It started about 16 years ago when Rocky was discipling a bunch of guys in Northwest Arkansas that worked for some of the biggest companies in America, the Hunt Foods, Walmart, what's the other one? Yeah, Tyson's Foods. They're more billionaires per square mile in Northwest Arkansas almost than anywhere in the country. Nobody would ever know that. Everybody that visits there wants to move there, so be careful if you head that way. 10, 12 years ago, about 14 of us went back to Arkansas for the first training for the journey groups. And Rocky's had a heart for discipling men ever since I've known him. We've been friends since we were sophomores in college. And so he's always had a heart for discipleship. And one day he asked the Lord, he said, "Lord, we're doing a lot of Bible study, but we're not seeing a lot of transformation in men's lives." And so he said, "What's our problem?" And the Lord told Rocky, he said, "Rocky, you're not connecting men's hearts to my heart." And so Rocky asked God, "How do we do that?" And so what came out of that after years of doing journey groups and perfecting, I think Rocky's rewritten that about 32 times. And the last time he said that's going to be the last time, but you got to be careful when you say that kind of stuff, Rocky. But I think we got what we need now in the journey manual and the journey guide and all that has gone into that. But you know, guys, we sat around a table yesterday with a bunch of our journey guides, and we just listened to them tell what their connection was to Influencers and to the journey. And it was amazing. I get goosebumps every time I hear about it. But it's amazing what's going on. Rocky and Brian have been from Redding to Sacramento to Bakersfield to Pismo Beach to Lancaster to Valencia to Long Beach and now here in the last week. And those are all places where we have Influencers ministries. They're places that have just bubbled up. It's not like we had a strategy, let's go plant Influencer ministries in these places. It's just men in those places seeing what God is doing and so hungry for it. In Pismo Beach, it's amazing. One guy from Bakersfield moved over there and got involved in a church. Rocky went over there, and they had 100 guys on the beach coming to hear him speak because they're hungry. They want to be a band of brothers. They want to know Jesus Christ intimately. They know that we're in very difficult times, and that we need men of God for such a time as this. Men of God who will stand in the face of danger, who bear up under suffering, and who will sacrifice for the good of others. And so the Influencer Ministry was born in Northwest Arkansas. Brian comes from Tulsa, and Rocky might share a little bit about that here in just a second. But we wanted to introduce you to these men. And guys, you know, these are the guys that we need to pray for because I've been in ministry a long time. And what this song right here, this could be our influencer song, the song we just sang, "Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here." And really, if you know anything about influencers, you know that it's not about influencers. And that's the reason you don't hear us talking about it all the time. It's not about an organization. It's about an organism of men from many churches and many faiths and many ethnic groups and many ages coming together in the Spirit of Christ saying, "You shall not pass here," to the devil as he's coming on our doorstep. And we know what the real enemy is, and we know how to fight him. And we're raising up men who fight him in prayer. They fight him in the Word. They're not confused about who they are. They find their identity in Christ. They love Jesus Christ, and they're spending the rest of their life learning to become just like him. Amen? And so I want to introduce Rocky Fleming. Rocky is not only my best friend, my youngest son is named Patrick Fleming McKenzie. His youngest daughter is named Joanna McKenzie Fleming. We was hoping they'd get married. Patrick would have been marrying way up, though. I don't think McKenzie could hang in there with that. But Rocky, we're so glad to have you here. I love you like a brother. These men love you and don't even know you, most of them. But thanks for coming. Thanks for being here. And I want you to introduce Brian.
All right, Pete. Thank you, brother.
Give Rocky a big hand.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Our King is great.
Amen.
Our King is our hero. And he is the one that we exalt every day. And Sam, where are you? Listen, that "Like an Avalanche" your band did, that's the best I have ever heard. And when I first started coming out here to be with you men, so many years ago, it was only him and a guitar over at the club over there. And the boys' club, is that right? Anyway, the deal is that what a great cell that is here, and how it's reaching out and reproducing all around and bringing people from many, many churches and many representatives from the different regions of Southern Cal, and the heart that I see here and the joy I see here, and it blesses me. And guys, the great benefit of being in the position I'm in is having the helicopter view. Because sometimes we're down here and we just see what we got going here. And you need to. You need to be able to be where you are, and you need to focus where you are, and you need to be planted where you are, and you need to grow where you are, and you need to bear fruit where you are. I get that. That's what Jesus said do. But he's also given me an opportunity to see something like this is happening all over the nation now. And when I'm amazed. That's all I can say. And I'd just like to give you just one little foundation before I ask Brian to come up and share his heart. And I want you to get to know him. I love him like a son. And he didn't just come lately. He's been coming for 5 years as we've been nurturing him and his relationship and his understanding, and at the same time watching him be grown up by God and the call that was on him and how it had to be manifested through a process of preparation. And it's that process of preparation that I would like to share briefly with you, because my life was kind of frustrated as a Christian up to 40 years old, because I wanted to do things for God. I wanted to be God's man. But I had a lot of misunderstandings of what that looked like. I had a lot of misunderstandings of how to become that man, how to become that man, why to become that man. Well, I thought I knew why. And I thought maybe how to was what I would make out of myself. And I was frustrated. I couldn't get it done. And when I was 40 years old, I came across the answer. And Jesus had said it clearly to his disciples. He said, "Already you're clean." He says, "But you must abide in me." And then in John 15, after he said, "Already you're clean, already you're saved, already you're in the kingdom, already you're saved and consecrated and will be glorified in the kingdom, but you have yet a lot to be developed in. Already you are saved, Rocky, but you must abide in me. For apart from me, you will not bear fruit. Apart from me, son, you will be frustrated. Apart from me, you will try to make of yourself the man that you want to be and you think I want you to be, but you can't get it done. But I will. But in order for me to have my way with you, you're going to have to be broken. You're going to have to surrender yourself. You're going to have to enter into your relationship with me much deeper than you've had. You've had more of a surface relationship with me. I know you've been doing your best, but it's not good enough to become the man that I want you to be. You see, son, to go where you want to go is going to require of you a personal abandonment of your life and the rights to yourself, and then to trust me absolutely. And when you learn to do that, then I will make of you the man that I have given you the vision to be. I will form you into that vision, and in that vision, we will proceed. So for the next 15 years from that point, after I said and declared, I want to be that man, Father, and whatever it takes, please let's do it. And the process of training and breaking and remaking and transformation occurred 15 years. It was a hard journey. There were 16 surgeries. There were several life-threatening situations that came. There was a lot of pain. But in all of those things, I saw the magnificence of my shepherd come and carry me through things I never thought I could face. And I learned there that so many of us are trying to keep a death grip on ourselves and the control of our lives to be safe, to be secure, to be significant. We think that that's our mission to do, but it's not. It's not. It's God's mission to do that for us when we begin to trust him and walk with him. And so in 2001, after I'd started connecting those dots and seeing what it takes to become a disciple of Christ, there was one next step that's required, and that was to then make disciples. Because we cannot be a disciple unless we are making disciples. And we can't make disciples unless we're a disciple. To be a disciple is required to, and to make disciples is required for being a disciple. And at the end of the day, what God has taught me with all of these things, there's one core thing that is needed, and if it's not in there, if it's not in the equation of the discipleship efforts we make, if it's not there, it will not produce a disciple as Jesus defined a disciple. It's going to be required, and God has shown me this, that there's no biblical transformation that can occur in a man's life unless it comes by close proximity with Jesus Christ. So, guys, what is influencers? Influencers, the ministry is irrelevant. All this is an organization that supports an organism, and the organism has a message, which is to get men into an intimate, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. That's our mission. Nothing else. That's it. Everything we do is drive people that way. And we're seeing it. You would not believe the fruit we're seeing, guys, because like Jesus said, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. And he is a promise keeper. And so that's our mission. So with that said, I would like to introduce you to a son, a man that we feel is going to help this mission and this message be declared all over the world as we're able to make new influencers and help them find this close proximity with Jesus Christ. I'd like to introduce to you Brian Craig.
Thank you, guys. Am I on here? Okay, great. Good to see you guys. Hey, Tom. Didn't see you there. I am just privileged to be here with you guys, and we're worn out. It's been 7 days of just, we've been on the road show, but me and Rocky World Tour, but we are just blessed to see guys and see the transformed lives and see men's passion up and down the coast, and so it's just been a great, great thing to witness. You know, I was just thinking, you may wonder why a guy, I'm 49 years old, why a guy with, and I'm married for 25 years, have four daughters, it's probably why I do men's ministry, need a male outlet. But why would a guy like that owned a successful business in Tulsa, Oklahoma, had tons of contacts, tons of friends, it was where I grew up, why would a guy leave? Why would you sell your business? Why would you uproot your family? Move my family out of a home that they've lived in for 19 years, the only home my kids have ever known. And we moved 2 hours away to a little, what seemingly was a small town, Bentonville, Arkansas, even though there's a lot going on there with all the corporate stuff going on there. But why would a guy do that? And I would just say it's because God has just been so good to me. And God has come into my heart, and he has transformed my life. And he has shown me a way to live life that I never knew was there before, because I wasn't raised with anyone ever showing me that. And I was lost, and I didn't even know it. You ever remember the movie where he said, I see dead people, but they don't know they're dead? I was one of those guys. And he awakened my heart, and he gave me a new purpose. And he helped frame everything in my life, my marriage, my kids, my work, my business, all within this context of this walk with Christ. And it really is this idea that, you know, the former things have, you know, you've died and you've been raised into a new life, a new perspective. The scales fell from my eyes. And it just has blessed me so much, and so much so that I want to help other men. I want to help other men find this. And I think there's guys everywhere, all around us, that are dead, that are the walking dead, if you will. They're all around us. And you know what? Rocky paints a picture in his book, Journey to the Inner Chamber, of the refugee camp. Many of you guys have read that, I think. And, you know, we kind of see these poor, pitiful guys out there starving and dying of thirst. And the guy on the horse, the influencer, comes and rides up and puts his arm around him and gives him some water and some food and helps him on the horse and tries to show him the way. You guys remember that? It paints a great picture. And I've been thinking about that a little bit, about refugee and who is that. And I wanted to kind of paint a little picture for you. I wanted to just read something to you and kind of share something with you that I think if we took refugee up here and put him on stage, this is what I think he would say to you. Well, guys, you may not recognize me. You may or may not know me. You know, you've probably seen me. You've said, how are you doing? And I quickly said, great. You know, it's an automatic response I learned somewhere along the road. The truth is, I'm dying inside. I don't want you to see that side of me. I can't let anyone see that side of me. You know, not even God, if there is a God. Okay, I said it. Sometimes I wonder. I wonder if he was really there. I mean, if he was there, why would life be so hard? Why does life have to be so hard? No one knows it's hard for me. I mean, I've got everybody fooled. I mean, at work, I look pretty good. You know, I'm pretty successful. I've done well. I've even won a few awards, you know. People respect me at work. You know, I've made quite a bit of money, too. Spent most of it, but that's beside the point. I work hard, and I just work and work, and I do what's expected of me. I go home, and then I start all over again the next day. You know, my purpose used to be my work. I thought I'd find some significance if I found a certain job or did the right position. But at every turn, all I found is emptiness. Is this all I was made for? I mean, I've got talents and skills and experience, and I can outwork most anybody, but deep down, I know there's got to be more. This can't be it. I mean, what, just make enough money, save enough money that I can retire early and play golf the rest of my life? Is that what it's all about? I mean, it sounds nice on one level, but I've watched others do that, and they really don't seem too happy to me. No, I want my life to matter. I don't want to go to the grave with the legacy. He worked hard, retired, played a lot of golf, and died. No, where's the passion? I used to have a lot of passion. Life used to seem like an adventure. I couldn't wait to explore everything life had to offer. Now it feels like I've been duped. I've seen guys die that aren't that much older than me. You know, time just seems to be ticking away. Well, my marriage, yeah, I still love her. But, you know, after so many years, you know, it just feels kind of like a partnership. We each play our roles. She's always taking care of the kids, you know, while I've made the money. You know, I help out every once in a while in the evenings. I've helped out with things, and I've coached some of the kids' teams, and she handles most of the parenting, though, really. I always appreciate her more when she's out of town and I have to take care of the kids. Romance? I wouldn't really say that's my marriage. Come on. That's for just young, idealistic couples. No, we're good friends. We're good friends. We've both done our fair share of aging. I'm not sure I'm as attracted to her as I used to be. I know it's not her fault. I mean, she's had three kids and all. She used to seem more attracted to me, though. I mean, she used to think I hung the moon. Anymore, I don't even think she understands me. My friend at work, she understands me. I like the respect she gives me. I know it's probably not right, you know, but we're just friends. Okay, my imagination takes me places with her every once in a while that I probably shouldn't go. You know, and speaking of imagination, I tend to let that imagination kind of work with my my iPhone and my iPad too. But, you know, come on, it's pretty harmless, you know. I just like beautiful women, you know, come on. Anyway, I remember my wife and I were so much in love. I mean, I remember we'd go on dates and we just enjoyed being together. It, you know, we didn't have any money, but it didn't matter. Now it seems like our whole life hinges on how much money we do or don't have. And she's always on her Facebook. I mean, what is she looking for? It seems like she's longing for some life that she doesn't have. I mean, you know, what's wrong with the life I've given her? I mean, I get a little bit resentful, actually. I mean, I wish she'd give me a little more what I'm looking for in the bedroom. Those days seem long gone. I'm sorry to throw all this on you, you know. I've just got to be real with you guys, though. My kids. Yeah, I love my kids. I remember when they were little and they thought I was a great hero. I could hold them in my arms and, you know, they felt safe. I miss those days. Now I feel like my kids hate me. I don't even know what's happened. I know I've been busy. I guess after too many times of me turning them down, when they wanted to spend time with her, they quit asking. I like being a daddy. Now they just go to their mom when they want to talk about something, you know, or they just go to their room and shut the door. They're always so moody, you know, or they just want to be with their friends. You know, I'm not even sure if they have faith. I'm really not sure. They accepted Christ and got baptized, but I worry they're falling for the world's temptations. I don't know what they're watching on their iPhones or on their iPad. I don't know if they're drinking. I don't know if they're sexually active. I hope not. What can I do? I mean, I can't be with them all the time. I guess I can pray for them, if that really works. I mean, prayer. I remember when I used to think that God really heard my prayers. I'm not sure about that. I don't think I'm holy enough to pray. Every time I think about praying, I think about all my sins. I mean, I drink too much. I've got all this anger raging inside me that just comes out at the wrong times. I've already told you a little bit about my thought life. And yeah, my language is foul, you know, but it's just a bad habit. But the truth is, I'm a pretty despicable human being. How can God want to hear from me? How can he be proud of me? How can he love me? Yeah, we go to church. I was raised in church. And I vowed to take my kids to church. But I go there week after week and I just sit in the crowd. I feel like a stranger. I mean, I don't even know these people. I kind of like it that way. That way I don't have to put forth much effort. I sit there kind of like a beggar with my hands out waiting for some crumb from God. The music's too loud most of the time. I just want to get through it. But I see other people and they seem to be getting into it. And I'm actually a little envious. I just don't really get it. Why are they so special that God ministers to them? Then the pastor speaks. You know, and every now and then it seems like he's really speaking to me in my situation. I feel a connection to God, and it feels good. I feel hope. He'll read a scripture, and it seems like it's actually applicable to my life. I mean, I mean, sometimes I think he's actually speaking to me from the Bible. You know, I own a Bible. It's somewhere in my office. I wouldn't dare bring it to church, you know, because I'd be afraid if anyone saw how new and unused it looked. And I definitely wouldn't want to see me fumbling through it. You know, they put the words on the screen anyway, and I've got my Bible app, so it doesn't really matter. But you know what? I've never really read the Bible. I don't know about you. Really seems like something more that a seminary student does or a pastor does. I've heard people quoting scripture, and you know, I just think they're just showing off. I don't have time to read the Bible. I'm too busy. But you know, I look around, and I wonder if the other men in the audience are like me. I size them up. It's kind of my competitive nature. I guess if I'm doing better than the next guy, then I'm doing okay, right? But you know, I see some men in the crowd that seem a little different. They kind of have a glow about them. I mean, a few of them even shook my hand and they seemed to genuinely care about me. I mean, I don't want to be weird or anything, but these guys kind of had a peace about them. You know, they don't even know me, and they seem to be friendly to me, and they shake my hand. I mean, why would they care about me? But I secretly wish that they'd take some time with me. I mean, maybe they have some answers that I've been seeking. I'm drawn to them for some reason. I mean, I know my way of life hasn't worked out too well. I'm longing for a meaningful conversation. You know, my wife says I never talk. But you know what? She doesn't understand. She's not a man. I need a man I can talk to who can understand these things that I'm dealing with. You know what? I wish there was a group of men. You know, the one-on-one thing's a little awkward. I wish there was a group of men I could meet with. You know, I think about Jesus as disciples, and there's something about that appeals to me, you know, because I like teams. I like sports. I like the idea of a group of men on a mission together. I like to be around some good guys. I'm sick of the guys I've been hanging out with. All they do is depress me more. All they care about is just money and success and pleasure. You know, I'm just tired of all that. I know there's more. You know, you'd think I could find a group of guys, a good group of guys at my church. But, you know, I look in the bulletin, I'm not even sure they have a men's ministry. I think I saw something about a golf tournament once. But I'm sick of golf. That's not what I need right now. Where can I find real answers? Where can I find something to fill this emptiness inside of me? Where can I find help for my marriage and my family? Where can I find hope? Where can I find fulfillment and purpose in life? Where? 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 I have no idea. No idea. I'm a refugee wandering this earth. I'm lost. I can't take it much longer. I need rescue. I need someone to reach out a hand to me. I need to know there's a God up there and that he loves me. I really need help. And I'm crying out on the inside. You wouldn't know it. I'll just pass you by and smile at you. But I wish you would stop me. I wish you would reach out to me. I'm sorry I've been so aloof or even rude to you. I know you've invited me to things before and I didn't come. But would you try again? Would you give me another chance? I'm ready now. I need this. Please don't give up on me. I'm waiting on you. I think there's guys like that. That's why I do influencers. That's why I do journey groups. Because there's men like that everywhere. They're all around us, guys. And they're not out in the homeless shelters and, you know, out in the darkest places of the earth. They're right next to you in church. Guys, they're right next to you. And they need you. They need you guys to step up. I have guys who say they went through the journey. Yeah, I've done that, or I guided a group. It's not something you just do and check off, guys. This is a process to help that you can help men with. You know, I'm going to be leading journey groups the rest of my life. I mean, I don't care if I'm executive director, whatever the title is. I want to be in the trenches with men. That's where the life is. It is helping men. That is making disciples, which is what Jesus asked us to do, right? And I know there's men all over this country and all over this world who need to understand how to find hope. Because there's guys that are just trapped and they're prisoners, just like what I described. So That's why I do Influencers, guys, and I'm just going to challenge you to join me on this mission. Love you guys.
Well, you guys are just sitting there buck naked right now. Somebody just undressed you. Say, I thought this guy was a stranger. How does he know me so well? You know, guys, far and wide, as Brian just said, there are guys just like us. There are guys that are refugees. There are guys that don't know where to turn. They have a semblance of spiritual life, but inside they're just dead. I'm not sure if we could put a blame or a fault on it, nor do we need to. We just need to go get those guys. Just like someone came to get you. You're here today because some other guy invited you to come. That's the only way you get to this group. To get a passion for other guys, to get a heart for men in your sphere of influence, and just say, hey, why don't you come? We figured out that the average guy takes about 8 invites to get him here. So if you're less than that, way to go. That means you're just more desperate than the other guys. Right? But God has given us a gift. It's an unbelievable gift that God has given us here. Look at these two men right here. Who wouldn't want to serve with these guys or under their leadership? I mean, it's amazing. And if you were to be with them traveling up and down California and Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Northwest Arkansas and Memphis, Tennessee, places that have just bubbled up. If you went to Africa, last week we showed you that film of the guys in the bush in Africa. I am a man of God, absolutely. You know, over in Africa, out in the bush, we got 6 journey groups in Cairo, Egypt. I mean, God is doing things all over the world. We got Gustavo, who's taken the journey to the Philippines. It's been translated into 8 languages. And this little Mississippi boy that just spent years and years out in a shed behind his house spending time with God, and God was preparing him to bless us, to call us. And guys, we're fighting the distractions that keep us from coming. All of the fears that we have, everything that Brian described in his refugee, we're declaring war on that. And guys, we have this sense of urgency. Don't you have a sense of urgency when you just read the paper, see the news, and watch what's going on in our culture? I mean, we want to get a YouTube membership as a nonprofit with Google, but to do that, they want us to sign something that says that we wouldn't discriminate against any sexuality. And we're not going to do that. It's not that we have a problem with that, or that people can't choose whatever sexuality they want to choose, and they got a lot of options today. But we're going to stay true to what God has called us to be and do. We love those people, any people. We love people that are politically different from us, sexually different from us, ethnically different from us. That's not the point, is it? But we got to start that love right here. We got to appreciate what God has given us right here, the Spirit in this room. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. It's not about us. It's not about an organization. It's about the Holy Spirit's presence transforming men's lives. And God's given us the tools to do that. We got to be good stewards of that. So if you've ever thought about being in a journey group, or you went through one and you didn't get as much out of it as you know you should or could, Bill Cobble, we're starting new journey groups right now. Come see Bill and get your name on the list. And the reason I'm excited about journey groups is because I've never seen one that went to fruition where men didn't come out transformed and different. You just talk to guys that have been through journey groups and see if it hadn't transformed their lives. I don't understand all I know about that, but I know it's true. So God has given, there's nothing God has withheld from us to get the job done. And we got everything we need. It's like I told you before, my college baseball coach, when I was a sophomore at Auburn, and after practice one day he called us all to come hit a knee right back by the backstop. And he looked around the group and he says, we have everything we need right here to win this conference championship. And we got it right here. Everything we would ever possibly need, the leadership, the gifts, anything we need, God has given to us to get this job done. Now, if you're getting it done in another context with another church or mission organization, praise God, we'll fan your flame, we'll get behind you, go get them, Tiger. Auburn Tigers, by the way. Well, 7-6, that's better than 6-7. But God's called us together. We're here together to be a band of brothers. Don't be confused about why we're here. We enjoy the Spirit's presence. We enjoy the worship. We enjoy the fellowship. But we're here to get a job done. And when Rocky says we're here to raise up men of God, to get men into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, that's not the end. The end is that in that relationship and in that intimacy, as we're transformed into His image, we're going to influence all the world around us. And that's the answer to our problems. It's not politics. It's not more money. It's not getting the Dow's down 400 points. I don't want to be a bear bad news for you guys, but it's down 400 points this morning. So don't put your hopes and dreams in that. We got the answer. Amen? So we're going to get out there and give them heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And you're a man of God?
Absolutely.
Abso-stinking-lutely. Got a whole room full of men of God right here to get the job done. Dennis has a presentation.
Rocky, you've touched every life here through the influencers, through your journey, through your love of Jesus Christ. And it's every man here has been touched. So As a token of our appreciation from Influencers West, I'd like to present this to you. Rocky Fleming, influencer. This is the guy on the horse.
You know, Rocky, Dennis is one of our team that goes to Chino Prison. And I tell you, if you think you've ever seen a rock star, when he goes to the prisons and these men in the prisons have been so transformed by the journey, he's a stinking rock star when he goes in there. I mean, they line up to meet Rocky Fleming, the guy that wrote the book. It so transformed their life. And Rocky, I'm going to let you pray for us as we finish today.
I'll do that. Lord, our eyes and our hearts are on You. You begin it all in our life. You came after us for some reason or other. You saw us even yet while we were sinners, even while we were desperate, even while we were ugly with shame. And You said, I love You and I want You to come and be my child. And I cannot understand it. I cannot understand such a great grace that would overlook all of this stuff that I've done, that we've done, and want us to come to You and be loved by You. But I do understand this, that Lord, when we come there, we will never be the same. And Father, I think each one of us here realize that there's more of You that we need. And I believe I have only begun to understand You and know You. Why I'm only getting to know You. It'll be an eternity to get to know You, my King. But what You have shown to me about You is that You are a God of love, a God of grace, a God of compassion, a God of mercy, a God of vision, a God of detail, a God of care, a God of knowledge, a God of purpose, a God of power, and You're my God. You're our God, and we're Your kids, and we're grateful. In Jesus' name, amen.